The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. Tisku L'mitzvot.
Daf Chaf He. Today's daf has been sponsored in honor of the rabbi and the Daf Yomi class dedicated by our good friends from Aventura, Florida, Roger and Raquel Baghdadi. Shem Yishmerem V'chayim to school the mitzvot. We are studying today's daf on Chav Dalid Amud Bet, and we will begin from the Tashema. Today's daf is being studied Le'alu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'alu Nishmat Mazal Bat Frida Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. He v'chol benot Yosef Shvuchat Machler Amin Vasilichot V'nomar Amen. And today's daf is being studied Refuah Shilema Chamavadiah Ben Gulgia Enna Refanadot V'toch Shar Chodei Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Dalid Amud Sheni, and we start at the Tashema with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. Our subject is, we learned yesterday a statement of Rav Ahav Bar Yaakov, which he taught us that kol mechitza she'ena yichola la'amod beruach mesuya ena mechitza. That any wall that cannot stand in normal winds, I mean, not that the wall is going to collapse, but the wall flaps in and out, sways in the normal wind, so that type of wall is pasul. So the Gemara asked a host of questions about different walls that swayed in the wind. The Gemara answered, no, we're talking about where you tied the wall down, and therefore the wall has certain stability. So the Gemara continues on that same line of questioning. Tashema, so Gemara says, come and hear. We have a case. Haya sham ilan o gader o mechisat kanim nidon mishum diyumad. So we're discussing now the case over here. Yeah, we did this yesterday, but review it again. The case of Pase Biraot, where we have a well in the middle of the Reshut Rabim and you want to draw water from it on Shabbat. So we said the rabbis gave a certain leniency to Ole de Galim, that with four diyumadim, four L-shaped, like bracket-like mechitzot, that each one is an amma. Each part of the L is an amma. You have it on all four sides, you can consider them walls. Therefore, it encloses it to make an eight shoot. Therefore, you'll be able to draw water from the well into that enclosed area. So the hadush over here is, let's say, you have around the well, ilan. Either you have, let's say, a tree, or gader of, let's say, stones, or mechisat kanim, or let's say a group of kanim, let's say reeds that are put together. You can count that as a diyumad. Now, if you wanted to look in your pictures, I'm looking at the Ha'od V'Adar version in this case. So you have nunhe, shows you the picture where you have, let's say, kanim, which are going like reeds, right? One amma one way and one amma the other way. Now, the point of the reeds is they obviously sway in a normal wind. And how can you say that's considered a mechitza? So the Gemara answers, "Atam name mishum davide behutza v'dafna." You have to say that you tied them up with hutza v'dafna, with these branches of the palm tree, and therefore they're considered stable. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tashema, we bring another question. Ilan ha-mesach al ha'aris. You have a tree that its leaves or its branches, let's say, they roof over the ground. Trees have a tree going up, like the trunk of the tree goes up, and the leaves, they go all the way down. They form like a schach over the
ground.
Okay, you want to see a picture of that? Nun Vav in your picture book. You see a big tree over here, and you see, you know, that it's causing a shade, let's say, from the leaves. So what's the deen over here? If, let's say, the nof is not elevated from the ground, more than 3 tefachim, which is the 3 tefachim of the ground, so the Gemara says, metaltelin tahtav. So you're allowed to carry under that tree on Shabbat, because we say lavud, so it's considered as if the tree is totally reaching the ground, and it's all enclosed inside, so you can carry throughout that whole area. So the Gemara says, how could you do that? Amai, ha-kazil ba'ate. What kind of wall is that? The tree, the leaves are moving. And you told me any wall that moves like a sort of wall. Again, the Gemara says, same answer. We're talking about over again where you tie the tree down, you tie the leaves of the tree down with hutzah and davna, with these branches, and therefore it has a stability. Comes the Gemara and says, if that's the case, meaning if that's how you're learning, where you tied the walls down, so now the Gemara says, nitaltel bechule. You should be able to carry under the whole entire area of the tree. Now, let's review exactly what the question is based on. Look at Rashi, starting from the first wide line, HaMesach al Ha'aris, Nofo Gadol Me'od. That has a lot of shade, branches. Right, the heads of the tips of the branches drape over towards the ground. Right, we say lavud. Now you have to say that the wall from the inside is 10 tefachim. So the tree goes up 10 tefachim. So you have a regular legitimate wall. You have 3 tefachim from the ground. So it's considered as if it goes all the way down. Now, if you're telling me da'asuya biyadayim hi, which means you went and you took the hutzah v'dafna and you actually tied the nof to itself in order to make it stable, v'ra'uy ladur tahtea. Now you could live under it. It was now walled for a dwelling. V'lishmor sadeh asa'a. Now we have a rule, if you remember we learned in the Masechet Erubim, that any type of enclosed area that was not hukaf ledira, that was not walled for dwelling purposes. For example, it's a natural structure that just has natural walls, that it was not walled for dwelling purposes. Even though technically it's reshuti yachid min haTorah, Hachamim came along and said they only allow you to carry under such a structure up to Bet Satayim. Bet Satayim would be up to 5,000 square amot. Because since it's a very large area and it wasn't walled for dwelling purposes, so therefore it's not domeh so much to a reshut yachid because of the big area and it wasn't walled for dwelling purposes. So therefore this tree over here, you're right, with the tree before you started tying any branches down, it wasn't walled for dwelling purposes. It's a natural tree, and therefore we understand l'chaura you should only be allowed to carry up to 5,000 square amot under this tree. It's a huge tree. Okay, now once you're telling me that you tied it with hutzah v'dafna, so that means you went with kavanah now to make walls. Now already it's considered hukaf l'dira. Who's going to live under there? The guy that's watching the field over there, whatever he's doing under the tree. So he's going to live under the tree. So therefore, the chaura, if you're doing hutzah v'dafna, that means you had kavanah. Now you actually went and made walls for dwelling purposes. Okay, so maybe, who says that you can't carry more? So the Gemara says, Alama, then how come we said, Amar Ravuna bere de Rav Yoshua, en metaltelin bo ela betzataim. He came along and said, you can only carry the 5,000 square mot. Let's read the Rashi on the bottom. Netaltel betocha bechule, kelomar yetaltel bo kol kamashu gadol. Alama Amar Ravuna, en metaltelin bo ela. Imken eno hava ela kishur bet sataim. The Gemara says you can only carry the shiur of bet sataim. Where did they get that, by the way? Shiur of bet sataim. So that she says kaser mishkan. That was the square amot of the mishkan. Shiur zinatu hakim nekod ekef shenu ledira. Any enclosed area that was not enclosed for dwelling purpose, Rabbi said maximum carrying is what? 5,000 amma. Vim gadolu mikan havi kamelit. If it's more than that, Shi'ud, the rabbis gave it the deen of a karmelit, then he can only carry let's say it's 5,001 square amot, mm-hmm. right? And it's hukaf, there's walls, but it wasn't hukaf, the dira, you can only carry 4 amot. It has a din of a karmelit. Okay? Amotav shel adam ve'ay, kevat biyadayim hukaf, since when you put the hutzah ve'dafna, meaning biyadayim, you tied up all the walls, udira, afilu yota betzatay mitatel ba. So how come you're telling me in the Gemara statement that you can only carry up to betzatay, and that's the Gemara's question? So the Gemara says, no, mishum da'ave dira shetashmishea le'avir. וכל דירה שתשמישה לאוויר הם מטלטלים בו אלא סתיים, which means this is a dwelling over here, but it's not made for inside. The walls are not made for underneath it or inside. It's made for the air that is beyond it, which means the watchmen of, let's say, the field over here are not living under this tree over here. They just need to stay over there to watch what's going on beyond the tree. They just stand under there for shade. And if, even if they're making walls, it's not considered ukaf l'dira. It's more for what's beyond the tree, that they want to watch the fruit in the fields to protect them, etc. And we have a rule that any type of structure, any type of area that was ukaf for avir, meaning for the air that is beyond it, it's not considered ukaf l'dira, and if you have the betzatayim, so even if you went with your hutzah v'daftan, you tied up the tree and all that, bottom line, it's not for dwelling purposes. Look at that sheep. Shetashmisha le'avir. Ena asuya dira zu, ela le'tzorek avir sh'utzah la. You only made this dwelling for the air that is beyond the tree. Why? Lishmor ha'sadot. Right? To watch the fields. Ve'ena hashva dira le'atir ekev gadol. And therefore, it's not considered enough to be matir a big area. So that answers that question. Comes the Gemara and says, Tashema. Another question against Ravaha bar Yaakov. Shabbat betel shehu gavoa asara vehu me'arba amot adet satayim. Okay, we have a case over here. You have your picture books, you see it on Nun Zayin. The guy on Friday night, Shabbat, he went into Shabbat. That's Shabbat, meaning he went into the Shabbat. He was in a place of what? Of a till, of a mound. The mound was 10 tefachim high off the ground and was between 4 amot and, let's say, 2, and let's say, and betzatayim. Between 4 amot to 5,000 amah. That was the area, let's say, that we're talking about over here. Okay, he's on a mound, 10 tefachim high. Anywhere from 4 amot to 5,000 amah. Right. So the Gemara is going to say over here, Tel gavawa asara. Vehu me'arba amot. It's at least 4 amot ad bet satayim to 5,000. Vechen, similarly, beneka. Neka would be, let's say, a furrow in the ground. Okay, natural furrow in the ground. Shu amok asara. It's 10 tefachim deep. Vehu me'arba amot ad bet satayim. Same story. It goes from either 4 amot or up to bet satayim. That's picture nun here. Next case. Like a crater in the ground, exactly. Vechen, kama kesura. Let's say you have a field where in the center of the field they cut all the wheat. And around it you have makifot ve'shibolet makifotota. You have stalks of wheat, let's say, surrounding it, which are making walls. That would be picture number nuntet. Okay, now, what's the deen in all this subject over here? Bottom line, you're in a reshut yahid, enclosed area. Either it's enclosed, either the point is it's 10 tefachim high, right, and 4 wide, let's say. So you have your reshut yahid on the rock, or it's the case of the ground, where it's 10 deep in the ground, it's walled, or it's, let's say, in the field, where you're surrounded by those walls of wheat. What's the common denominator between all these cases? So the statement goes like this. Mehalech et kula. Well, first of all, you're allowed to walk the whole area. Now, why? Because since we're talking about over here, it's not more than betzatayim. Okay? So therefore, it was not hukaf l'dira, because he's a natural. These are natural walls over here. Right? The guy didn't make the walls for dwelling purposes, so he has the right to walk the whole area, you know, because it is up to betzatayim. And then the Gemara says, v'chutzala alpayim amma. And you're allowed to walk from the end of this area 2,000 amma further. Which is, we learned the Masechet Erubin, the law of Tchum Shabbat. Your Tchum Shabbat starts from where you are on Shabbat. So therefore, he went into Shabbat in this area. Okay? So your 2,000 amma going to begin when? of where? From the end of the area, right? You can walk the whole area on Shabbat, no problem. And then from that end of the spot, of any direction, you can go now 2,000 Amah forward. Okay, so that's the din of the Braita. Now, the Gemara's question is, but what are you talking about? These walls over here, for example, the case of the Shibboleth, the case of the stalks, you tell me that's an enclosed area. What are you talking about? They move. So the Gemara's answer is, same answer to all the questions. You tie them up, and therefore they are solid, and then we have no problem. Now, we have to understand, they're not carrying. You can only carry inside the enclosed area, but when they get a tomb, your tomb goes from the end of the item. Now, we have to figure out why we're discussing over that it has to be minimally 4 amot. Right? It says that this the area that we're talking has to be from 4 amot up until... is 4 to Fahim. So what is this? 4 amot until Bet Satash. Let's read Rashi. Vehu. Me'arba amot ad Bet Satayim. Gadolu. Me'arba amot. Aval enu yoter ad Bet Satayim. Vechen beneka. That's guma. It's a natural crater in the ground. That's not the common denominator between all these cases, right? The shibboleth, you have these stalks. Okay, now Rashi gives us the hadush here. The maximum you'd be allowed to carry in these enclosed areas is what? Betzataim, because they were not hukah for dwelling purposes. Hilkach, me'alechet kula. Therefore, you can go technically the whole area because it's not more than Betzataim. Lemahar, the next day of Shabbat, vechutzala, and beyond it, alpayim. You're allowed to walk 2,000 amma. Dechol halala, hoil veshabbat ze ba'avira mebe'odyom, hava ke'arba amot shel makom shevita. Jeez, we know the rule is that since you were shoved, since you were there before Shabbat, that whole area is considered for amot. But we don't say 2,000 amot from where you are. No, that whole enclosed area is considered for amot, and your 2,000 amot begins at the border, at the edge. That's the way we look. And that's why it said v'hu me'arba amot. That's why the Gemara has to give a case where at least the enclosed area is at least 4 amot. Why? If you're telling me it's not more than 4 amot, what are you telling me? You could walk the whole area, or you can carry the whole area. What are you talking? Right. Which means you always get 4 amot. Right. No matter where you are, you always get to walk and carry within your 4 amot. I don't need walls for that. So if it was less than 4 amot, you can walk the whole area. I was like, Baruch, you without walls, I can walk the whole area. And I get 2,000 amma from there. Yeah. And we know mekomo of a person is for amot. Which means that she's just asking a side question. By the rock case, where's your walls? By the case of the rock, it's 10 tefachim high. There's no walls. So that she says, no, you use the word asik. We consider that the sides of the rock go up. And therefore, it's imaginary walls that are going up, and therefore you have walls that are high, and therefore it encloses the top of the rock, and therefore you have no problem of a neshut yachid as well. Okay, so that answers that. Okay, look at that. She continued with shibboleth makifot afagav de'enu omdot beruah, even though the stalks do not stand in wind. David le mechitzot shibboleth be'utz ve'dafna mishibboleth shibboleth ad shagdam bekadlan yachad sabiv u'mazikot zu et zu. Now you weaved. You braided the Hutzah V'dafna across the Shibboleth, and therefore it's strong, and then we have no problem. So basically that's the common answer the Gemara gave throughout the whole Gemara, that Hutzah V'dafna, at bottom I have to have a strong wall that's not going to move during the wind. Okay, now we move to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah teaches us Shiluchei Mitzvah. These are people that are going to do a mitzvah, for example, to go learn Torah, or to go visit their rabbi, or let's say to go do pidyon shivuim, to go rescue somebody that's held in captivity. He's on a mitzvah mission, okay? And it happens to be Sukkot. So the Mishnah says, Hadush, piturim min sukkah. They are exempt. So long as they're on their mission, they do not have to go sit in the sukkah. Okay? And the hadush over here is even when they're resting, which means they're going to, by day, they're going to do the mitzvah. Right, now at night, they're not doing the mitzvah. They're going to go to sleep. They don't have to matriach. They don't have to toil themselves to go find the sukkah and sit in the sukkah. They're exempt. Now, What's the logic over here? Because we have a rule. Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. That somebody that's involved in a mitzvah, so he's exempt from another mitzvah. The hidush over here is that even at the time that you're not actually osek anymore, which means according to somebody in Shonim, the logic over here is, because bottom line, if you're going to make the guy now at night have to go find a sukkah and sleep in the sukkah, it's going to slow him up the next morning. Which means body, it's going to be too much of a burden on the guy, and he's not going to be able to do the next morning the mitzvah the right way. Either because the sukkah is uncomfortable to sleep in, he's not going to be rested, however you want to learn it. But the point is, even at the time of his resting at night, according to a lot of Yishonim, he's still exempt. He's considered patur from the from the sukkah, because bottom line, it is going to be mafriyam. It's going to bother him to a certain extent. Okay, that's the Tosfot's opinion. That's the Rosh's opinion. That's the Ritva's opinion. Meaning, let's say the guy's more comfortable in sleeping in the house, so therefore that's it. He's more rested in the house. Next day, we'll be able to do the mitzvah better. Finished. It's considered patur even when he's on his downtime. Other Rishonim want to argue, they want to say, no, this patur over is only when you're actually mamash involved in the mitzvah itself.
It's not going to interfere.
Which when you're involved in the mitzvah itself, it's going to interfere. But at night, they want to say, it's not going to interfere, so therefore you got to go into his kasha. So it's different ways of learning, because there's a whole machlok, and if you can do both mitzvot at the same time. For example, a guy can wear his seat when he's in the sukkah. I'm doing wearing tzitzit, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. You can do both of them. So they want to say that now, if you can do both of them, it's not going to interfere with the mitzvah. Therefore, you have no etir. In any event, let's read Rashi for a second. Rashi says, "Shulchan mitzvah alchem baderek mitzvah gon lelmot Torah ulagmir pnei rabov levdot shivuim petrim in asukah ba'afilu b'shat haniyatam." Clearly, see Rashi shita is even at the time they are resting and stopping, they are exempt from the sukkah. So comes the mishnah. It is holin. Okay, but not somebody that's sick. So they are mitzta'ed. They're in agony. They're suffering because of their sickness. That's the people that are serving them. They're aides. Peturin min sukkah. They are also exempt from the sukkah. They don't have to eat in the sukkah. Now the Mishnah continues. Ochlim v'shotin arayich chutz sukkah. You're allowed to eat temporary meals outside the sukkah. We will see exactly what that means, because normally a person has to treat his sukkah like he treats his house. That you don't always eat in your house every meal, snacks, things like that, you eat outside your house. So therefore, when it comes to eating, you treat it like yes, snacks, which the Gemara will define that's what a snack is. You're allowed to eat outside the house. So the Mishnah basically talks about three cases. The Mishnah talks about the case of Osek b'mitzvah, right, Shiluchai mitzvah, talks about the sick people that are exempt from the sukkah, talks about the eating, the achilat, arai. Comes the Gemara and begins. Now, this is actually a Gemara that we learned in Masechet Berachot. It's repeating it over here because it's germane to our subject. How do you know the subject? Which is, how do you know this law of Shiluchai Mitzvah Peturim in a Mitzvah? How do you know the guy's on a Mitzvah mission is exempt from another Mitzvah? Where do you know this from? Now, the Ritba, right, he doesn't understand this Gemara's question. The Ritba comes along and says, well, what's the Sheira? If a guy's doing one Mitzvah, why would I think he should stop this mitzvah to go do another mitzvah? Which means, of course, he's doing the mitzvah. He's involved in the mitzvah. I would think he should stop this mitzvah and go do another mitzvah. I mean, why is this mitzvah different than the other one? So he comes along and says that the pasuk is teaching us over here, even if you want to stop mitzvah A that you're involved in, to go do mitzvah B that's a bigger mitzvah. The hadush is still patur. Because bottom line, you're involved now in this mitzvah over here, you're exempt. So that's already a chidush and osek mitzvah patur mitzvah. That even if the second mitzvah is bigger, you don't leave the mitzvah that you're involved in. You're patur. You do not have to go and do that. He gives an alternate answer. He says the chidush of these pesukim is going to be even in a case whereby staying with the first mitzvah, the second mitzvah is going to be gone. You're going to lose the mitzvah. Well, you might have thought, okay, I'll take mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Yeah, because you'll do it later. You know, finish this one and later you'll do it. Now, even if the second mitzvah that you're not going to do
is gone, still you're patur. Your segment's up to the mezuzah. So those are the hadushim already that are in the pesukim. Okay. Comes the Gemara. The Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Okay, and Braita is quoting a pasuk, famous pasuk that we read in Kiryat Shema. So Torah says you have to read the Kiryat Shema. When do you have to read Kiryat Shema? Beshiftecha, bebetecha. Literally, when you're sitting in your house. So the Gemara says prat leosek bemitzvah. That's coming to exclude a guy that's doing a mitzvah. And the Gemara will explain to us how is that excluded? Just when you're sitting in your house. So it's mashma when you're sitting in your house, you're doing your mundane things. Then you have to read Kiryat Shema. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, indeed you're going to be patur from the Kiryat Shema. Rashi, b'shiftecha b'betecha, prat ta'osek b'mitzvah, she'enu hayab b'kiryat shema, ul kama mefarish me'e mashmat. Gemara is going to explain where do you learn this mashmaot from. Now the next pasuk, u'blechtecha b'derech. Right, when you're walking on the road, prat lehatan. That's coming to exclude a hatan. The hatan on the night of his wedding, so he's tarut. Not in a physical mitzvah yet, but in machshava. Which means he's preoccupied now, and he's going to fulfill that night the mitzvah piriyah v'dibyah. So therefore, his mind is preoccupied in fulfilling this mitzvah. So therefore, the Torah exempts him from kiryat shema at that point. Now the hadush of this gemara is that not only when you're actively involved in the mitzvah you patur, but even if you're mentally preoccupied in the mitzvah, like the hatan, you're also going to be patur as well. Davka, when you're walking on the road, prat wahatan, that's not doing his personal stuff. He's involved in tadat the mitzvah. Rashi, v'afagav, du nami b'mitzvah tarid. So Rashi's bothered. What do you mean? It's the same thing. What's between the first case and the second case? Rashi says, no, it's tariche, lehu tereh, kera'e. Di'ave ketiv had, kevan tehatan lav behedja ketiv bekra. Since tehatan is not written explicitly in the pasuk, ha'va amina, lo patar ketuv, ela toreya ve'oseh melechet mitzvah biyadayim. I would say, maybe you only exempt if you actually actively involved in the mitzvah. Oh, malich le mitzvah. You walk in to do the mitzvah. Aval hatan shu yosev u batel. It's adanu. He's just sitting doing nothing. He's just thinking. Ve'eno osik ela tarid b'machshavat be'ila. He's just thinking about the mitzvah that he's going to do that night. Lo patar ketuva. I would think maybe he's not patur. Hilkach mekla yitra shmina de patur mekla shema de tarid b'machshavat be'ila. That even a tirdah of the mitzvah of the night is also considered tirdah of the mitzvah, and therefore you're patur from the mitzvot. That's what she said. It's just what in the Buddha Mitzvot Kabbadirik Pat Hatan says the same thing. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, "Me'e mashma." I'm sorry, Mikan Amru. From here, the rabbis learned, "Hakones et a betula." A person that's getting married to a betula, it's a virgin, is patuvim kriyat shema. Beta almana hayav. But if a person marries a widow, he's going to be hayav in the kriyat shema. Now, the Gemara will explain later exactly what's the difference between a betula and a almana. Okay. Now, comes the Gemara and says, Me'e mashma. Where do you know this from? Where's the mashma'ut from? And how do you know from the words, b'shiptecha b'betecha, that it's coming to exclude a guy who's doing a mitzvah? It says, he's sitting in his house. Well, prat, I'll sing a mitzvah. Where'd you get this mashma'ut from? So the Gemara says, Amar avuna, kederech. Meaning like a derech. Meaning like it says in the pasuk, b'shiptecha b'betecha, u'blechtecha b'derech. A guy walking on the road. So the Gemara says, "Ma derech reshut, af kol reshut, la'apuke hayd b'mitzvah asuk," which is what it says. B'shiptecha b'betecha, b'lechtecha b'derech. We're talking about a guy. Let's say he's on the road. What does a guy do on his road? It's business. That's the personal stuff. So it's saying, when do you have to read Kiryat Shema? When you're involved in things on the derech, on your personal personal endeavors. However, if you're involved in the endeavors of a Kavuz Baruch Hu, you're involved in mitzvot. Therefore, you're going to be happy. It's the same thing. But you're just sitting in the house doing, you know, your personal stuff, like derech. You're doing your business. You're not doing anything mitzvah. Then you read Kiryat Shema. But if you're doing a mitzvah, you're patur. So the key word is derech. Like a derech. That's b'lechtecha b'derech. That's the mode of the pasuk. Okay? From the fact that the Torah writes it again. It's coming to show you what? The rules are only dafka, you're hayav in Kiryat Shema when you're involved in derech, in a mundane act. So Gemara says, who said, "Milo askin antikazil advar mitzvah"? The Kamar Rahman Likri. Who told you? Maybe we have to come up with a guy's going on the road to do a mitzvah. Who told you when he's automatically when you see the word Derek, you say, oh, businessman. Who told you? Maybe Derek is a guy going to do, go learn. And still the Torah is telling you, you have to reach him out. So comes the Gemara says, no, imkem, lema kerav b'shevet u'belechet. The pasuk then could have just said when you're sitting or when you're walking. My b'shivtecha, in your sitting, u'blechtecha, in your walking, belechet idachu de mechayevet ha belechet de mitzvah petirat. Right, it's personal. U'blechtecha, when it's your walking, when you're walking for your own items, you're walking for your business, then you hayav kedat shema. Ma she'enkim when you have lechet avakadot baruch hu, you'll be patur. B'shivtecha, when it's your sitting, then you're going to be hayav kedat shema. But when you're involved in the mitzvah, you're going to be patur. So that's really the extra chaf sofit and the b'shivtecha and the blechtecha that teaches us it's personalized. Exactly. Let's read Rashi. Le'em mashma. Le'hanikra. Prat the mitzvah. How do you know that they're accepting a osek mitzvah? Ki derech. Onech bederech sehora. A guy going on his business. Mi lo askinan. Vechi enach yechol lechlol bemektar derech mitzvah. Im reshut. Vat derech stamaketi. It just says derech. How do you know it's going on business? Umash panami derech mitzvah. Kama rachman al dechayiv lechlol. Maybe it's talking about a guy doing a mitzvah. It's not I have to read. Im kent bederech mitzvah. Nameka lechtom belechet bederech. If it was talking about a mitzvah, it should have said lechet bederech. But now that it says lechtecha or b'shivtecha, etc., it's yours. Therefore, it's only personal, but not mitzvah. So comes the Gemara and says, if that's the case, ihache afilu kones et almana name, which means you tell me any guy's involved in a mitzvah. Okay, so when a guy's getting married, isn't getting married a mitzvah? So therefore, a guy that's marrying an almana, he should also be exempt from the kiddush. Why are you only telling me a guy that marries a betula? Okay. Right, at this point, we're thinking again. When you're on the way to a mitzvah, and you're walking to do a mitzvah, lech lecha. Right, it's your personal business, you hayav. But you're walking to do a mitzvah, you're patur. So therefore, again, the guy's walking to get married to an almana. What's the difference? He should also be patur. So to that, the Gemara says, answer: kones the betula tarid. When a guy's marrying a betula, he's preoccupied with his machshava. When the guy's kones to almana, he's not tarid, which means, you're right. On the way to walking to get married, of course, he'll be patur when he's marrying the almana also. It's mitzvah to get married, he's patur. We're discussing now, after he got married now. Okay? He gave the ring, he made the kiddushin. Now he's waiting for the mitzvah. The mitzvah of pirur vu, the mitzvah of the be'ilah. Now, on an almana, he's not tarud in this over here. Because she's almana already. She's not a betula. When it comes to betula, it's a mitzvah of the bi'idah. So therefore, the machshava is where's the preoccupation when it comes to the mitzvah of a kones to betula. But she'ekin, when it comes to the almana, he doesn't have a tirda. No, that's the Gemara. Which means, you're right. Walking to the wedding, I'll tell you patur at that point for kriyat shema. There's no difference between a betula and almana. But I'm going to get married. The question is, we're talking about machshava preoccupation. Mm-hmm. So on a betula, you still have the preoccupation because she's a betula. You're going to find the betulin, not going to find the betulin, etc. Your mind is preoccupied in doing this. Almana, it is what it is already. So therefore, he doesn't have that preoccupation. Look at that she, tarid. Libo tarud, b'machshavat b'ayla, mistavla, ki patre kira mishum tada patre, v'enu yachol la'asuk b'shnayim ke ahad. See that she says, when the pasuk is telling you can't do both at the same time, which means a guy cannot concentrate the kriyat shema at the same time that he's going to have a preoccupation of the mitzvah. Okay, so that's the Gemara's answer at this point. So comes the Gemara and says, v'chol echad de tarid hachaname de patur. At this point, the Gemara is assuming, oh, so what's the issue? The Gemara is going in stages. The Gemara says, issue is our preoccupation. Meaning your mind's thinking. Okay, so you tell me that every guy that's mind is preoccupied about something, he's exempt? Gemara gives an example. A guy in the morning gets news that his yacht sunk in the water. The tarid. Now he's preoccupied. He's thinking about all his money that he lost. Hachanami the patur? You can tell me the guy's patur from Kediyat Shema? Vechite machiname. Maybe you'll tell me, yeah, he's patur. Kempi va'amar bi'abbar zavda amarav. Avel hayav bechol ha'mitzvot amurot b'torah. But I've been on a mourner. is hayav in all the mitzvot of the Torah, chutz min ha-tefillin. Except from wearing tefillin, she'arei ne'emar ba'em pe'er. The tefillin is called the pe'er, the glory. And since a person is in mourning, so therefore he's not in the state to carry the glory of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's not in the glorious state. But all the other mitzvot, he's hayav in. Now even though a mourner is preoccupied with his loss, a mourner, aver. Now, the mourning, the agony that he's going through, there's no mitzvah to agonize. There's a mitzvah to kind of sit on the floor, to rip his clothes, but the tzar, the preoccupation on his dead, it's not a mitzvah, that's a personal anguish. Right. And therefore, what, on personal anguish, we're saying, what, you have to say the kiddush, so make up your mind. You're telling me preoccupied. You're patur. Well, the avil is preoccupied, and he is hayab. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, no, hacha tarid tridad the mitzvah, hatam tarid tridad the rishut. Difference. The only preoccupation that you're exempt is a tridad the mitzvah. The guy's going to marry a betula, that's a mitzvah. A guy's boat sinks, that's not a mitzvah. That's he's upset, lost some money. A guy's avil. Yeah, he's upset about his zemet. That's not a mitzvah. So therefore, the bottom line of the Gemara is, which we understood from the beginning, is really tirdad the mitzvah. That's going to exempt. Let's read Rashi. Let's read Rashi. I mishum tirda. Hay de parich mashma le de tirdato potato. At this point, we're thinking that it's the preoccupation that exempts him. The fee shini yachol lekaver tibo. Because bottom line, he can't have kavana. So if you can't have kana, what's the difference with the tirda? I don't care if it's both sunk or the guy's going to marry betula. Hilka chafil tamasifirato, the tarud besaro lifater, shneemar ben pe'er. Okay, can they come on? Ve'aveh lav bar pe'eru. A mourner is not considered somebody that can put glory on his head. Ukshem mitpa'er bar'eh ba'atho she'enu aveh. The contrary, when he puts the tefillin on his head, he's showing I'm not mourning. He's not mourning because it's pe'er. Therefore he can't wear tefillin. Hatan tari tedat de mitzvah. והשמינן כלל דלא מחייב להשיא דעתו במחשבת מצווה ראשונה בשביל זו הבאה עליו, אלא יעסוק בראשונה וייתן לב לבו להיות בקי בדבר. Which means, the חידוש of the פסוק that she says is, we tell the חתן, continue being preoccupied. By the case of the boat, we tell the guy, hey, get it out of your mind. Take the loss out of your mind for a couple of minutes and read the Kiryat Shema. By the guy of reading the חתן, thinking about the betula, he's concerned, he's thinking, what's going to be, what's going to happen. So therefore, we don't tell the guy, hey, concentrate. No, don't concentrate. You're thinking about the mitzvah? Continue concentrate. You're patur from kiryat shema, because he's already involved in thinking about a mitzvah. But the other guy's thinking about the shoot. So that's really the proof. So the Gemara says, ha'osek ve'osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah me'ach ha'nafka. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? You want to tell me that osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah, where are we learning it from? The Gemara says, is that the source? I'll bring you another source. Where from? The law of Pesach Sheni. We know that everybody has to bring, all males have to bring, all the people, Klaisel, have to really bring a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. Okay? Now we discuss, let's say, somebody that for whatever reason was Tameh and was unable to bring the Korban Pesach. So in certain situations, we give him a makeup date 1 month later on the 14th of Iyar. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to discuss that situation. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ma'atam nafka. We learn our second mitzvah from the following pasuk by Pesach Sheni. The Tanya, we have a braita. It says in the pasuk, Vayhi anashim, ashirayu temi'im lenefesh adam. It says there were certain people that were tamir. They came in contact with a corpse, and they weren't able to bring the Korban Pesach. And if you remember, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, hey, lama nigara, we don't want to lose out, we want to do the mitzvah also. So Moshe Rabbeinu told him, okay, let me ask Borei Olam. Borei Olam told him, okay, tell him to come back next month and they can have a makeup. So now the Gemara is going to ask, who are these people? Who are these Timim? Let's identify who we're talking about. So the Gemara says, Otam Anashim, these people over here, Mihayu, who are they? Now, the backdrop to this question over here is like this. These people were Tamemit. Now, for Tamim, you need a 7-day process. 7-day process means you got to be sprinkled with the Parah Adumah on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Happened to be, their 7th day was Erev Pesach. So technically, they were going to get sprinkled. They go to the mikveh, they'll get sprinkled on that day. Now they just have to wait for sunset, Ve'erev Shemesh, and then they're technically able to eat from the Korban. So what they were really asking Moshe over here was a serious halakhic question. They weren't going to stop coming along and say, hey, tell me, we want to eat the Korban Pesach. They were saying, hold it. Why can't we eat the Korban Pesach? which means today is our seventh day. We'll finish the process tonight. So even at the time of the Shi'ita, let's say, we're not valid. But by the time it comes to eat the Qurban, we're in the game. So the Gemara is asking, hey, who are these people? We say, obviously, you're talking about people that knew what they were talking about. It's not Stam guys over here. They obviously knew the Alagot. They're coming back and forth. Seventh day, Tevilah, and all that stuff. So that's the... that was the question, right? Now, they didn't think that their Tevilah is going to affect what they're going to do later on. Which they figured, I'm going to come here today on the seventh day. All right, so let them slaughter for us, and then we'll go to the mikveh after we stay slaughter, and then we'll continue the process. So to that, and it's meduyek in the pasuk, because when they came along to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, lama nigara, which means, why should we lose out? What do you mean, why should you lose out? You're tameh. What do you mean, you're tameh? No, it's, I mean, we should still be, they weren't coming for a Pesach Sheni. They were coming, they want to bring Pesach Sheni. Show these guys, why should we lose out to everybody else? I have a kind of question, you should lose out because you're tameh. No, we'll, but by night time we'll be better. So the Gemara says like this, Mi hayuhu wa dey nos'e arono shel Yosef hayu. When Yosef HaSadiq died, he made Bnei Yisrael swear that they're going to carry his coffin into Eretz Yisrael. So these are the guys that were carrying the great coffin of Yosef, and therefore what they had? Tumat Met. That's where they got the Tumat from. The very Yosef Yedidi. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishael Ve'el Tzafanayu. Shayu Oskin. Nadav Avihu. If you remember on the day that he inaugurated the Mishkan, Nadav Avihu, the sons of Aaron, died in the Kodesh, and they had to be taken out. Who took out Nadav Avihu? Mishael ve'El Safan. So where did they get this Tumat Met from? From Nadav Avihu. Tosafot on the top, Tosafot says, but Gemara says they were burnt. According to one Shittama Sikha, they were totally burnt. So the Qara, they're totally burnt, there's no Tumat. So Tosafot doesn't say that the skeleton was still intact, and therefore enough to make them Tameh. So that's even according to that opinion. But the other opinions, no, there was just the fire went into their nostrils and just snuffed out the Neshama, but their body was still intact. In any event, that's the two Shittot. These were the Temim, either the Nosei Aron of Yosef or the Nosei Aron of Mishael and El Safan. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Im Nosei Aron of Yosef, you kevar ayu yichodim taher. Im Mishael ve'El Safan, ayu yichodim ayu taher. What are you talking about? Let's discuss the Mishael ve'El Safan situation first. When did that happen? Nadav Avihu, Aleph Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. When is Pesach? The 14th of Nisan. Yeah, 2 weeks. They were still tameh 2 weeks later. They can't be. They're coming 2 weeks. Yeah, yeah. 7 days plus another couple of days tameh tayin. So that cannot be. They were not the people. Also, maybe tameh there's people that are carrying Yosef. That can be also because they only carried Yosef when they were traveling. Now that she's going to prove to us that at this time over here for 10 months already they weren't traveling. They were in the same spot, and therefore they weren't carrying the Aron of Yosef for 10 months. So therefore they didn't have any tumah. They only carried it when they were moving. So therefore it doesn't apply to them either. So we're back to the question: who were these people that carried the that got the tumah? Look at Rashi. Im nosei aronos shel Yosef yomishev safan yochlim ayutayir share be'achad b'nisan ukam ha'mishkan v'sheni lo saraf el azar et ha'para. On the second day, that's when Elazar burnt the first parah adumah. Why? She yezu atame emet sheben. That was when he started sprinkling on the people that were tameh. La'asot pischehen betara kedama besikat ketim. Shemona pereshot nemu bayom shukam ha'mishkan u'parah adumah achat mehem. U'bachat b'nisan u'kam ha'mishkan v'u'chayet ha'miluim kedekayma lan oto ayom natal esen atarot u'bo metu nadav avihu. Good. Hilkach menosh chodesh u'ad pesach ayu yicholim ta'er. Bottom line, they had 2 weeks to be mitayed themselves. Vekara amav lo yechlu. Pasuk says, "Velo yachlu." The nosei arnos shel Yosef na mekevar avru adam asara chodashim v'yoter. Very 10 months passed on them. Why? Shelo nasu meshachanu bar chorev. When they got to Har Chorev, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, kedichti bayom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai, velo nasu misham ad 20 biyash shana ba'a. They got to Sivan year one. They didn't leave to the next year. 20 of Iyar. So they didn't come in contact with the Aron of Yosef for 10 months. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, who was it? So the Gemara says, Ela, Oskin, Be'Avihu. Oskin, Be'Met, Mitzvah, Hayu. These people were involved in a Be'Met, Mitzvah. Now, Be'Met, Mitzvah doesn't mean a traditional Be'Met, Mitzvah. Now, Be'Met, Mitzvah doesn't mean a traditional Be'Met, Mitzvah where they found a body in the middle of the street that has nobody to bury. Be'Met, Mitzvah was somebody had to bury one of their relatives. which means the bet mitzvah, one of the seven relatives that it's obligated for a person to mourn for. Mm-hmm. So this was the bet mitzvah that they had to do. Now, what was the problem? Shehal shvi'i shelahen liyot be'erev Pesach. Oh, like we said, the seventh day of their tahara was when? Erev Pesach. So what was the claim? Shene'emar. Ve'lo yachidu la'asot ha'Pesach bayom ha'hu. You see the pasuk? They weren't able to do the Pesach that day. Mashma what? Bayom ha'hu en yicholim na'asot. Ha'lemahar yicholim na'asot. It's imagine that they only asu that day, but what? They could have went to the mikveh on Friday, whatever that Friday, they ate a Pesach, and then they would have been ready to eat that night. So that's what they came to Moshe. They said, hey, lama nigara. Now, what do you see from over here? Let's speak out the proof now. Bottom line, these guys, they were exempt from the Korban Pesach. Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu eventually told them, don't worry about it, you go next month. But the point is, there was not a claim against them. They were allowed to put themselves in a position where they're going to become tameh, because that was the mitzvah at the time, even though it was going to cause them to be exempt of another mitzvah. So therefore you have the rule about osik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. I don't have to calculate now when I'm getting to a mitzvah. You know what? If I'm going to do this mitzvah, mm-hmm. I'm going to miss the next mitzvah, even better. The next one that I'm missing is Yisud Karet. Right. Korban Pesach is punishable by Karet if you don't bring the Korban Pesach. Doesn't matter. Bearing a mit is a mitzvah taseh. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the Adush is even better. Mm-hmm. You're sick with mitzvah, even if it's a lighter mitzvah. Bottom line, you don't have to make a calculation. Because if that wasn't true, we would tell them, listen, you know what? Moshe would have told, no one burying any dead people from starting 7 days before Pesach. Again, it's not the 7 days of the Midrash. This is Stam.
The seven relatives.
Not the right. No, if there was a law that said that don't let somebody else bury them. They would tell us you have a mitzvah coming up. You cannot exempt yourself from this mitzvah. And they say, no, the mitzvah comes to you. You do it. And even if it exempts you from another mitzvah, you're a sick mitzvah. You're patur. You're off the hook. Look at that sheet. That she says tameh mit mitzvah, lav mit mitzvah dafka kama, not the traditional mit mitzvah that you always talk about where you found a guy in the middle of the street. Dafilu mitem na mit mitzvah, even their own personal mitim are considered mit mitzvah. The mitzvah that taseg me gona amuri mifarashat kwanim shekoyim mitameh. The seven relatives that are kohen can be mitameh. Those are the obligatory ones. Shehaz shivri shalem. Now the afalgav the hazu leurta, even though they would be fit by the evening. Right, by Pesach, lo ishtaru de kasabar en shohatin vizorkin al tameh sheretz. You don't shohet if somebody has tumah. So these guys didn't go to mikveh yet. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, listen, you can't. It's a tameh sheretz. You have tumah on you. The shahid, you have to be viable at the time of the shahita, not the time of shahita. You were no good. Then you wait for the evening. Mikol makom. Here's the point. Mikol makom. Shamrina and mineh de osik b'sof tov na mitzvah. Sharet nitmeu b'mitein shvaya yamim lefnei Pesach. Va'afapish shetumazu ta'akev al yadam achilat pesachim. Even though this tumah is going to affect their achilat kol ma'pesach, alma mitzvah kala. Haba liyadecha en chasadik ledachotah mepnei hamura aita labo. So therefore, but you see the inyan of osik mitzvah. I'm involved in the mitzvah here now, even though I'm going to be exempted from a bigger mitzvah. Doesn't matter. You do the mitzvah now. The only question on this whole proof is it's hard to understand because they didn't know what they were doing. These guys, technically, they didn't think they were going to be exempt when they were doing it. They thought they're going to do the Pesah, the mitah, and they also thought they're going to do the Korban Pesah. They didn't think that they were exempting at the time. That's why they came to Moshe. Okay, we want to bring the Korban Pesah. So that's why I'm trying to explain it. You have to say that Moshe Rabbeinu would have stopped them. Which is, if there was a law, if there was no law for Sigmund Zappa, Moshe Rabbeinu would have made an announcement 7 days before Pesach. From now till Pesach, don't become Tameh. I don't care if you have your relatives or something, we'll have to work it out. But do not become Tameh because you got to bring the Korban. So the fact that announcement, so to speak, wasn't made, you see that it's not an issue. In any event, comes the Gemara and says, so basically what the question is, what do you need two proofs for? What do you need the proof of? And this is a Korban Pesach item. It's two proofs. So the Gemara says, Siricha. You need both. Why?
Di ashmeinan hatam mishum de lo mataz man hayuva de pesach. Aval ha'achad de mataz man kriyat shema ema lo sericha.
The first side I'd say like this. If only I had to go around Pesach one, I'd say, you know what? You know why you're sick with Zapatum and Mitzvah in that case? Because the Mitzvah of Mitah, of Mitzvah, is in front of you now. Go around Pesach 7 days away. Okay, in that case, I don't have to calculate when the Mitzvah is a week away what I'm doing now. But in the case of the Hatan, the Kiryat Shema is now. Maybe I'll tell you, in that case, yeah, go stop your thoughts and go read the Shema. So that's why I have to tell you the Shema case. That what? Even if the Mitzvah is there, you're still patur. Because why? You're not the mitzvah. Now we go the other way. V'yashmina nacha, if you only gave me the case of Kiryat Shema, mishum deleka karet. I would say, okay, so the Kiryat Shema, it's mitzvah taseh. Okay, so you can exempt yourself from the mitzvah taseh, no problem. Aval ata, but the case of Kiryat Shema, deika karet. Emalo? I would say, hey, you know, to exempt yourself from burying a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. But to exempt yourself from an item that's korban pesach, it's sur karet, ema lo. So therefore, the Gemara says on that, siricha. You need that case as well. Let's read Rashi. The lo mataz man chayuba, kishnitmu adayin luigi yizman achilat pesach. Right? When they became tamed, the time of eating the pesach did not come yet. Aval, kiryat shema de mataz man chayuba betoka opa. At the wedding, the guy's already, I have to be kiryat shema. V'uraui lekach. And he's able to. Emma, I am. I might think he has to read it. Aba pesk bekaretu emalo yitmu b'met kol shiva lefnei pesach sericha lemechta b'yom ma'ul asminet d'netma tok shiva d'osik mitzvah p'tor mazadev. I have to tell you the korban pesach case that yes, you get involved in the mit even though it's going to exempt you from a issu that's even subject to karet. Let's go a little further. Gufa, we learned above. Amar bi abba bar zavda amar rab avel hayav bechol amitzvot amurot b'torah. But I mean, not a mourner is obligated during the 7 days to all the mitzvot in the Torah chutz with tefillin, except for the mitzvah of tefillin. Why? So he says, Sharen ne'emar ba'en pe'er. Because the Torah calls the tefillin a pe'er, a glory, and therefore, when a person is wearing glory, it doesn't show that he's ma'avilut. Now, where do we know this from? Medamar le'rahmana li'yehezkel. Pe'ercha havush alecha. When Yehezkel's wife passed away, God had told Yehezkel a special instruction. You're not going to mourn. You cannot mourn your wife. And one of the things he told Yehezkel was, God, pe'ercha havush alecha. You must wear your tefillin. You must wear your pe'er. So what do we learn from there? That a normal mourner does not wear the tefillin. But Yehezkel was the exception because God had a reason. So therefore, pe'ercha havush alecha. So the Gemara says, at hu demehayaft. Yes, you Yehezkel, I'm telling you, you got to wear tefillin. Aval kule alma petire. But everybody else is patur. Behani mide biyom rishon. That's only talking about when he exempt from tefillin, the mourner, only on day one of the avilut. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says over here, va'aharita kiyom mar. Which is in that pasuk over there, actually pasuk in Amos, it talks about the mourning period, and it talks about the first day being the most bitter of the days. And therefore, kiyomar, God says, you can have the bitterness like the bitter day of the avilut. Yomar, one day. So therefore, the pe'er is not befitting on the first day of that, which is the most bitter day, but the subsequent days, it's okay. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Mid the Amar lay the Hamana li Haskel the Kamal Rahmana hineni lokeh mecha et mahmad einecha." I'm taking the precious thing of your life, of your eyes. This is wife. Bemegifa, she's gonna die. Haanek dom, which means be silent, metim from mourning, I guess. Aval lo taase lo, which is be silent. Do not mourn for her. Pe'ercha, your tefillin, havush aroshecha. Shelo kederech shar avilim. Lefi shani oseh otcha otu mofet Yisrael shekanatim namut metehen ben ish metabel alehen. God was giving Yehezkel a siman. There's going to come a day where the Jewish people are going to die, and Am Yisrael is not going to mourn for their own relatives. And therefore he's saying, this is the sign. Your relatives are going to die, you're scared, your wife, and you're not going to be able to mourn. Alma, avil asumet filin. So everybody has to remember, the source of ptur of tefillin is where? From Yehezkel. Now, hani milib yom nishon, ti'ikar mirara hajuma. The main bitterness of avilut is what? One day. Kidichtiv vaharita kiyom mar. Okay? Now. Good. Okay. Let's just go one more line. Okay, a mourner during the 7 days is hayav to sit in a sukkah. Okay? Now, obviously, you have to say you're talking about that the person died on Sukkot. Mm-hmm. If he died before Sukkot, he's not Avilut anymore. The Avilut is broken before Sukkot. Before Yom Tov breaks up the Avilut. So you have to, he doesn't sit obviously on Sukkot. Mm-hmm. The Avilut is delayed till after Sukkot. That's when he starts to sit. But bottom line, he has to keep things bits and eyes. He's not allowed to do things in public. You cannot show happiness, let's say, in public. Okay? So now the deen is like this. Somebody died on a holiday. He says, I have says pshita. What do you mean? What's the question? Didn't we just say avil hayav v'chol mitzvot? An actual mourner is hayav v'chol mitzvot. So this guy is why should he sit in the sukkah? It's not tefillin. Of course he's in the sukkah. It's because ma'u detemau ilva marabi ababrasav amarav mitzta'ir patu min sukkah. We have another rule. Somebody that's betza'ar. The pasuk says besukot teshvu shivat yamim. You have to sit in the sukkah like you sit in your house. Just like a guy sits in his house, he's comfortable. But if he's not going to sit in his house, if there's a tzar, the pshat sitting in the house is ke'endadur. You're comfortable. If you're uncomfortable to sit in the sukkah, you're considered a mitzta'ir. What's the law of a mitzta'ir? Mitzta'ir patur. So I would have thought that this avel over here, he's going to be a mitzta'ir. Why? Hanami mitzta'iru. Why should he be a mitzta'ir? Because he has to go to the sukkah, it's inconvenient, already he has his avilut, now you're putting him into a position. So the Gemara says, nah, kamashma hani mili tzara dimimela. That's only talking about a tzar that comes from the sukkah. Aval ha'cha iyu dekamistar nefshe, ibe'ilil yetuvedate. The Gemara says, hold it. Where's this guy's tzar coming from? Self-inflicted. The guy is anguishing himself. Hey, that's not a tzar. When we say tzar in sukkah, meaning there's bugs in the sukkah, or it's freezing cold in the sukkah, or there's a smell in the sukkah, whatever it is. It's coming from the sukkah. Then already you have your din of mitzta'ir patur. But if the guy himself, he's just upset. Hey, get over it. Go sit in the sukkah. So therefore the hadush is, avel hayav to sit in the sukkah. Let's just read Rashi. Pshita. Of course, I have this hayav in the mitzvot. Why should I think he's just in the sukkah? Sarad b'milasha sukkah mitzarato. Only in the case I would think when the sukkah is giving him tzar, kegon hama, too hot, or tzina, or sirha b'devarim shesikech ben. Well, like I said, there's a smell from the items that he used for skach. But in the case of avedut, this case he has to calm his mind and go sit in the sukkah. For the benefit of our listeners to Masechet Sukkah, we are referring to several books when we refer to illustrations and pictures. One of them is Hamma'or Hamivu'ar, that is the picture book on Masechet Sukkah, and also a new book called Ha-Hod Ve-Ha-Hadar. So we will refer to it on the tapes and the audio. We'll refer to both of those books, and as well Perush Hai on Masechet Sukkah.